This is 91.7 WVXU's Cincinnati Edition. I'm Jay Hanselman. Headaches, joint pain, backaches, pain caused by an injury. About 100 million Americans suffer from chronic pain, and its effects can range from annoying to debilitating. Many find relief in over-the-counter and prescribed medications, but massage therapy, exercise, acupuncture, and other treatments are also effective in reducing pain. Joining us this afternoon to talk about methods an individual can use to manage chronic pain is Dr. Nancy Elder, professor of family and community medicine at the University of Cincinnati College of Medicine, and massage therapist Joyce Cowens with the UC Health Integrative Medicine Program. And you can join our conversation. The number is 513-419-7100 or email talk at wvxu.org. We're also on Facebook and Twitter, 513-419-7100, particularly if there's something that you'd like to share that maybe helps you cope with chronic pain. Dr. Elder is in the studio. Welcome.
Thank you.
Dr. Cowens on the phone. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Jay. Thanks for having me.
So let's start out with a definition of chronic versus acute pain.
You bet. And there's a little bit of wiggle room in the middle. Most people will consider chronic pain, pain that has persisted longer than 3 to 6 months. There can be subacute pain, which is kind of that pain in the middle, maybe 2, 3, 4 months. And then there's also the fact that some people have chronic intermittent pain. They'll have pain for a while, then it will get better, then it'll come back, then it'll get better. So chronic pain can incorporate on lots of different types of pain. But generally speaking, we're talking about pain that persists longer than 3 to 6 months.
And Joyce, my apologies. I tried to promote you to a doctor, and I understand that I did that incorrectly. My apologies for that.
No problem.
Would you like to add anything to that chronic versus acute pain definition?
Well, Dr. Elder has that correct, as she should. But what I just wanted to add to that is that the pain is the body's only way to communicate to us that something might be wrong. And a lot of people tend to not listen to those body cues, and it's important that they do listen to them, because if they keep, squelching it down, that's sometimes when an acute pain can persist and become a chronic pain.
Is there a point in dealing with, obviously, I would assume that if one has pain, that the first thing is to try to figure out what's causing it and correct that problem. When do you move from trying to correct the problem that's causing the pain into actually, I think what you refer to as pain management, managing the pain?
Yes. Anytime somebody has an acute pain, you want to try and find a cause for it. If you've tripped and hurt your ankle, you've sprained it, or you've broken it or something, that's something that can be fixed. And when you have an acute injury or some type of acute pain, then the emphasis needs to be on what's wrong and how can I fix it. On the other hand, when you've had pain that goes on for months and months, maybe even years and years, the odds are pretty good that there is nothing fixable, that there's not a shot or a pill or a surgery that's going to make you 100% better. As I often tell my patients, if there had been a cure, probably somebody would have done it by now. And the fact that they're still having so much pain means we often need to move beyond how do I take this away totally to how do I have the least amount of pain possible so I can do all the activities I want to do and so I can enjoy my life. So that moves us away from fix something to make my life the best it can possibly be. And that's where we talk about pain management, because we may not be able to fix it. Some types of osteoarthritis or osteoarthrosis or types of neuralgia may never be totally able to be cured. But there's a lot that can be done to improve the quality of life and how much a person can do and decrease the amount of pain they have.
If I were a patient and were coming to you with chronic pain, when do I make the transition from, like, perhaps my family doctor to pain management? And then if you could then walk me through that process, to analyze, what you're going to come up with the pain management plan.
And first of all, you don't ever have to leave your family doctor. So that's a key point, that primary care manages most of the chronic pain in this country. But they do it in partnership, when it's done well, with a number of members of the chronic pain care team. Part of the trouble that we have in this country is that a lot of really important components of chronic pain care are not always covered by insurance, are covered by insurance with a very large copay, or are not accessible because people live in parts of the country in rural areas or places where they may not have access to the type of care. But we know that chronic pain is best managed by a wide variety of things happening at the same time. It can include medications. It can include behavioral and mental health interventions like counseling and cognitive behavioral therapy. It includes things like Joyce has to offer, massage therapy, or other integrative methods like even acupuncture or exercise therapy, yoga, Pilates. It can include, at times, surgery, depending on where the pain is. You may want to have a surgeon involved because surgery may be an important point. It can involve pain management, which often means either an anesthesiologist or a physical medicine and rehabilitation specialist who might work with you. Oftentimes, the anesthesiologists who do pain management will look to see whether or not an injection or a nerve block of some kind might be appropriate for your pain. And, of course, physical therapy, helping people learn how to move their joints better. You'd think by the time you were 50 or 60 years old, you'd know how to walk or you'd know how to bend over. But sometimes you have to learn new ways of doing it to decrease pain and increase function. So all of these people can play a role depending on the specific type of chronic pain.
And Joyce, talk about the alternatives that you're able to offer.
Okay. Well, Dr. Elder is correct in that whenever someone is referred out for the chronic pain, let's say they're referred up here to UC Health Integrative Medicine, our physician here, the consulting physician, is going to work hand in hand with their primary care physician. And the doctor here is going to discuss nutrition. They want to know how well are they eating. Are they eating, a non-inflammatory diet? Because inflammation also contributes to the level of chronic pain that you might have. Then they're going to ask, what kind of physical activity are you doing? Are you able to do? What would you like to get back to doing? And then sleep patterns and stress levels. And acupuncture and massage kind of go hand in hand because the two of them actually, their job is to increase the blood flow. So with acupuncture, you're using the thin needles that are placed at specific points in the body that release the body's vital energy called qi. And the needles cause the body to release endorphins, which are the body's natural painkillers. And that increases the blood flow. And also what research is showing that is acupuncture is even starting to change brain activity, which by changing brain activity, that also can contribute to decreasing the chronic pain. And massage, same thing as kind of acupuncture. It's manipulating the soft tissues of the body to bring about physiological change and metabolic change so that, because function follows form. We want to decrease the tightness, the shortness in the muscles so that the blood can flow through the muscles instead of around it, thereby decreasing inflammation and increasing circulation.
And what do you do with somebody like me who is a super chicken, and when I hear the term acupuncture and then you say needle, I completely turn it off because I am scared.
Okay.
Scared to death of needles.
Well, then we do acupressure. So I do a lot of neuromuscular therapy, which is acupressure. And that's, finding a trigger point, using ischemic compression which for a short period of time, it kind of depletes its oxygen supply. And then when I release, fresh oxygenated blood kind of rushes through, increases the circulation, and you kind of get this, you get this flow going. So you can be afraid of needles, and we can use acupressure instead.
As long as I'm picking on myself, we were talking about this in a meeting this morning. Earlier this year, I was having problems with vertebrae in my neck mm-hmm. with some degeneration. And they said that they wanted me to do 6 physical therapy appointments. And I'm going to be honest, I dismissed it. I didn't know how stretching a rubber band and laying down on the floor and lifting a yardstick over, the top of my head and back up and down and repetitions like that would make any difference in the world. and it fixed it.
It did. And I think you raise a really good point. One of the most common types of chronic pain we see is musculoligamental, neck, back, knees, hips, and interestingly enough, thumbs are a common joint to get chronic injury from kind of osteoarthritis, the wear and tear arthritis, the degeneration that we get. And there is nothing like regular exercise to prevent it, and when it occurs, to help decrease the amount of pain and to help people get moving more quickly and more regularly. I talk about it like if you had a car and you'd put the car in the garage and up on blocks for 6 years, and then you came and tried to run it, it wouldn't move very well. And that's what happens to your body when you just sit all the time. But if you get up and you move regularly, it's hard to sometimes convince people in pain that the best thing you're going to do is move, but that's a lot of what we try to do, is to help people find ways to move so they can help with that pain.
Are doctors today more inclined than they say maybe were 20 years ago to look at other treatments before prescribing narcotics or some sort of medication?
I think especially with narcotics, the answer is yes. The research around ways to treat chronic pain, unfortunately, is not nearly as good as we'd like it. One of the things we know about chronic opioids or narcotics is that they have a place for a small number of people with chronic pain, but have traditionally been overused. Doctors often find themselves, especially primary care doctors, at a place where it's very important that we identify and treat chronic pain. For 20 years, we were chastised appropriately for not dealing with pain appropriately, for not realizing that our patients really were in pain and we needed to help them. Unfortunately, now we're being chastised for using too many strong pain medicines and having a problem with pain addiction, and I mean pain medication addiction. So finding that really sweet spot between the few patients who will benefit from chronic narcotics, but most people do not need chronic opioids to help them. Now, they may need medications, but there's many medications besides opioids that are very helpful for chronic pain.
And Joyce, let me put that question to you. Are people seeking out your alternatives, say, more than they would have 20 years ago?
Yeah, I would have to say yes, in that we, you know, appear at the integrative medicine, we are getting busier, and the biggest complaint when they come in is, I want to get off these meds. That's, you know, a lot of them are seeking alternative methods because they want to get off the medicines. And that's something that, you know, with the consulting physician here and the primary care physician, they can work together to make that happen, make that a goal.
Is that changing, too, on the part of the patient, though? Because I'm thinking back several years ago, some folks that I know were, I would say, hooked on narcotics. Mm-hmm. They had no intention of trying to get off them. But now you're seeing people say, I don't want to get, and as opposed to now, I don't want to get started on this.
It is an interesting dilemma, and it's important to realize that a lot of people that we think of, the kind who go to pill mills or use way large doses of chronic opioids, really chronic pain was maybe not their primary problem. It may have been a pain that got them in there, and then they got started on it, and they got hooked on it. People who really have chronic pain want the pain to get better, and they're willing to try many different things. People who are opioid addicts are different. They may have chronic pain, but they also have opioid addiction. And you, those are two, they can be overlapping problems, but they are two separate problems that both must be addressed.
For someone, say, who suffers, let's say, back pain, how do you convince them to maybe exercise or undergo therapies that in itself could be painful?
Yeah, and that's really a
hard
piece.
And I will say that with mine, the doctor said, do not do anything that hurts.
Yeah, you know, maybe hurt a little bit, but not too much. And it is important, and a lot of it is having that conversation with the patient at the very beginning. What is important to you? What kind of activities do you want to do? What can we help you with? Because having expectations and discussing expectations with the patient can make a world of difference. If once you tried jogging and now your knee hurts and I tell you you need to move, you're thinking, well, I can't jog. Well, maybe not, but maybe you could walk, or maybe you could do something like an elliptical machine at the Y, something that's not pounding on your knee. So it's also finding something to get you moving.
Joyce, do you want to add to that?
Well, and that's, you know, that's where the integrative medicine program comes in handy, is because So you're going to maybe put the patient with an acupuncture first or massage therapy, and where they're going to, you know, start the process of getting out of the pain. And then that builds confidence in them and builds, because their muscles become stronger and they can carry more load. And then we slide them into maybe a yoga program, or we teach them breathing techniques, a mindfulness class. That's what you do. You have to get confidence back in the patient, so they know it's okay to go walking. They're not going to get the pain back.
In massage therapy, is it something that has to be done consistently over a long period of time for it to be effective, or is that something that every person's different?
Well, usually, if someone comes in and they are very, you know, their pain is very hypersensitive. You know, they have nerve sensation up at the skin level. So the first session is going to be very, Swedish type, gentle work, just kind of calming down the nerves. And I would usually recommend, if they have a goal that they want to get to a point where they can have a better quality of life, then I'll say, I want to see you sooner than later, because we want to be able to build on the release that we just started instead of having to start over. So typically I'll see people, you know, once a week for a couple, 2-3 weeks, then I'll bring them in for, you know, 2 times a month. And the goal is once a month. And ideally everybody should be getting a massage once a month. And the reason being is that when you come in for your regular session, maybe I'm going to feel a tightness that you don't even know is developing, and we're going to move it through before it becomes a problem.
Is the fact that each person has a different tolerance for pain difficult in pain management?
It is very important to understand. There's a theory called the theory of allostatic load, which basically implies that everything, the stressors you've been through in your life from childhood on up, basically kind of build up inside you. And people who've had a lot of these life stressors are often have a more difficult time dealing with pain, whereas other people, you know, we know the stoic type who seem to have, terrible joints or some kind of thing and just manage to keep on going without it. So it is. It's very much an individual as well as cultural. Certain cultures tend to discuss and talk about their pain and how it affects them much more than others.
What about the emotional toll that chronic pain can take?
It's very dramatic. We know from research that people with chronic pain are 2 to 3 times more likely to suffer from depression and anxiety. And the opposite's also true, that people with depression and anxiety are 2 times more likely to have chronic pain. Patients often say, well, which came first? And I tend to tell them it doesn't really matter, because they interact with each other. The more you hurt, the more it's going to affect you emotionally. And the more you're feeling down emotionally, the more you're going to hurt. So we have to address both of them. We have to assess to make sure people don't have depression or anxiety or some other mental health issues, because it has to be addressed to help make chronic pain better.
Joyce, I heard you, the emotional toll.
Well, just that it becomes a vicious cycle then. You know, maybe then once your sleep patterns start to get interrupted, the only time your body can heal is when you're sleeping. And so if your sleep patterns get interrupted, then you get into that cycle of that you're not sleeping. So then you're having more pain. You wake up with pain. You go to bed with pain. And then that really can put a toll on you emotionally.
And I think I read in some of the material I had that even if you're being treated, you can have something called breakthrough pain?
Mm-hmm, definitely. If you've got osteoarthritis and it's under pretty good control, and then you decide to go for a long hike, all of a sudden your pain is breaking through and you've got pain way worse than you did before.
We've got just about a minute left here, and I'll let you both answer this. When should someone start asking questions? I mean, they might be seeing a doctor, but when should they be concerned that this is more than acute pain, that it's chronic pain?
I think when the pain starts interfering with your ability to do what you want to do, be it going to work, being holding your grandchildren, be it taking a walk after dinner around the block, that when that pain interferes with something that's important in your life, then that's time to bring it up.
Joyce?
Yep, I totally agree with Dr. Elder. That's absolutely correct. Yep.
We have been talking about methods an individual can use to manage chronic pain. My guests were Dr. Nancy Elder, Professor of Family and Community Medicine at the University of Cincinnati College of Medicine, and massage therapist Joyce Cowens with the UC Health Integrative Medicine Program. And you'll find links to additional information about all of those programs and issues at our website, WVXU.org. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jay.
And thank you for listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Archives of our programs are available on our website. Producer for today's program was Pete Reitmeier. Our technical director was Bruce Ellis. Here now is coming up next on WVXU. I'm Jay Hanselman.